program here on 95.7 The Game. You're on with Pop and Bonte.
Thank you for having me.
How are you, Vic, my good friend? Steve, years and years ago, represented me in a dark moment in his life. We've been friends for years and years, and we've been texting back and forth on a lot of NFL topics, and I want to get your thoughts about the league and where it's heading and the overall picture of the NFL. But just to start with the Jimmy Garoppolo deal, Steve, because you have analyzed it frontwards and backwards, is it team-friendly? Is it Don Yee-friendly? How would you categorize Jimmy's deal, Vic?
I think it was a classic compromise. It's team friendly and it's Don Yee friendly. It's Don Yee friendly in that for Jimmy Garoppolo, after so few starts, to be the highest paid player of the league is an accomplishment. On the other side, it's team friendly for the 49ers in that there's a lot of issues in the deal that have Prime Rate's structure in it that are very, very 49er favorable. And frankly, I was a little bit surprised that it got done before Cousins and Aaron Rodgers reset the market, but I think it was good. I think it was very good for the player, but certainly very, very good for the team.
Yeah, and Parag got that April 1st date. He always gets it. He got it in the Kaepernick deal. I want to ask you that in just a moment. But when you look at a contract and you get the details of the deal, and you know the agent, where the hell are you, Bake? You getting run over by a train? Are you all right?
I just had breakfast with the running back coach at San Jose State, Alonzo Carter, and we went to our favorite place, Betty's Ocean View Diner. And I didn't want to risk being in a bad sell zone, and I wanted circulation, so the window was down. But now the window's up.
Beautiful. And thank you for trying to get in a good self place, because that is a plague of talk radio. But when you look at a contract.
I wish Betty's Ocean View Diner was listening so I can get some free eggs for the plug.
He's dropping it in there. That's not the place you and I had breakfast years ago.
Exactly the place.
I think I remember you bringing them to that place, so there we go.
That and Rick and Ann's are my two go-tos.
You are. Consistent. All right, so when you look at a contract, and the agent likes the big, headline, $137.5 million, the highest paid player in the history of pro football for the overall, deal. He gets... the annual payment of what he gets, 27.5. And then we see, 74 of it is guaranteed. But really, $47.5 million is fully guaranteed, whatever that means, on top of guarantee. So when you roll up your sleeves and you examine what a fellow agent got in a deal, what are you looking at to know if it's a good deal or what kind of deal it is?
I look at a multitude of things. I look at how much money is actually guaranteed, that if the player falls on his face tomorrow, how much money does he know he's made? I look at the average of the deal. I look at how much of it is front-loaded. I look at whether there's incentives in the deal that reward the player for additional positive performance. When you look at Garoppolo's deal is basically really a two-year $61 million deal with a three-year 49er option. And $61 million for a player who's played as little as he's played is an extraordinary result for that player. But when they were negotiating it, basically, Don Yee would have known that if the Niners wanted to franchise Garoppolo for the next 2 years, they would have had to spend approximately $53 million. So they basically gave Garoppolo $8 million more than they would have had to give him in exchange for a three-year additional commitment. That's basically what the deal is. Which is extraordinary both ways. It's extraordinary for Garoppolo that he's getting more than 2 years of the franchise number guaranteed. And it's extraordinary for the Niners in that they got a five-year commitment. And the quarterback market will be significantly higher when Garoppolo next comes up. It's frankly really parallel to the Kaepernick deal. Kaepernick was the same thing in that he got some money up front. And frankly would have been extremely underpaid if he had been as good as the 49ers had thought he would be. Because Kaepernick ended up not being as good as people thought, he ended up getting paid, overpaid by about $5 million. But that's the deal in a nutshell.
And, Bake, the date of April the 1st that Parag Marate, who does do these deals for the 49ers, he got that same April 1st date in this deal that he got in the Kaepernick deal, which surprised me. So Parag and the Niners like that April 1st date where they can get out of the deal. As you say, it's basically a two-year deal, and they can get out of the deal April the 1st of 2020, and then they have annual triggers on that April 1st date they can get out. Now, I know why the Niners want the April 1st date, because it's after the start of the new league year. If they want to go out and get a quarterback, they're going to know they can shop for a couple of weeks, what it's going to cost, then just release him then. Why does the player agree to that date? Wouldn't they want that date to be March the 1st before the start of the new league year, Big?
Without question. I mean, you're showing, Greg, why I think you're the closest thing to a GM on radio. But, you know, you really are. Don Yee is one of the best agents in the business. It is inconceivable to me that he didn't fight that April date. Prague is worth every dollar they pay him that he manages to get what he got. Garoppolo had more leverage than Kaepernick had. So you would think that Garoppolo had the leverage to maybe move the date up. On the other side, maybe he got several million dollars more in the deal in exchange for allowing the Niners to stay consistent, because obviously the fact that the Niners have an April date in Garoppolo's contract, there's no other player on the team that's going to be able to get a deal before April, because they're going to say, if we didn't give it to Jimmy Garoppolo, how are we going to give it to you?
Let me ask you overall, Bake, and Steve Baker is joining us here on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Vontae on 95.7 The Game. Just looking at the league overall, because when this CBA does expire, there's a lot of worry in the NFL that we're going to miss a chunk of the season, or at least have an off season that's going to get really, really bitter between the players. And owners and the Players Association. And you and I were talking earlier today about the salary cap and how it is forcing players to take less money. And my response to you was, that's the whole point of the salary cap, but you think the owners are taking advantage of the salary cap. So where we are right now with the salary cap and the future of the deal between the league's players and the league's owners, Bake?
No, I think that the salary cap in football is by far the worst for players of the three major sports. That doesn't mean that the union in the NFL is worse than the NBA or Major League Baseball. It frankly means that they have much less leverage than the unions in Major League Baseball and in the NBA have, because player careers are so much shorter. So the reality is that a players can't really sustain the leverage of a strike in the NFL, because if they lose four games, they might be losing one-eighth of their entire career. While baseball players with their long careers can sustain a work stoppage, and the threat of that means there never is one. In the NFL, because they lost the antitrust case the last time around, they don't have antitrust protection, so they really only have the threat of withholding services. And the owners know that that's not a lot of leverage in the NFL, which leads to a salary cap that's very, very owner friendly.
Steve, first of all, you had breakfast with Alonzo Carter. Isn't that the architect of the great McClymonds high school football program there?
I am smarter about football now than I was 20 minutes ago. let me tell you something. Alonzo Carter's on my Mount Rushmore. He is one of the best human beings I know in sports. I mean, the way he cares about his players, the kind of coach he is, the kind of man he is. I mean, it really is something special whenever I spend time with him.
Yeah, now he's down there at San Jose State coaching a running back. So, but what do you, real quickly here, what do you expect Aaron Rodgers to break the bank with? What would his guarantee look like? What would the contract look like for Aaron Rodgers coming up here for the Green Bay Packers?
If there wasn't the salary cap, it would be like the old Mickey Mantle line. When people ask Mickey Mantle what his negotiation with George Steinbrenner would be now, and he said, well, I'd go up to George and say, well, partner, in an open market, Aaron Rodgers would get over $40 million a year. The issue is, and this was the issue I raised to Greg, is that because it's a hard salary cap in the NFL, a star quarterback is not going to want to necessarily use every ounce of leverage he has, because he wants the team to have money to spend on other players. That's how you end up in the ridiculous circumstance that Jimmy Garoppolo makes more than Tom Brady. But I would be surprised if Aaron Rodgers didn't do a deal that was at least $30 million a year. And with substantially better guarantee language than Garoppolo got.
Anyway, the Washington Redskins, and the report on Super Bowl Sunday is that Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen are thinking about franchise tagging Kirk Cousins, then hoping to trade him. Anyway, they would do that, Big? That seems reckless to me.
You know, I hear you, but I mean, what would be interesting is Kirk Cousins then could threaten to accept that right away and really hamstrung their cap. I mean, if you're the Washington Redskins, it would be very, very difficult to lose a franchise quarterback and get nothing for him. It wouldn't, you know. So I do think it's conceivable. I mean, I frankly find it amazing. I mean, we both know Bruce very, very well, and Bruce is one of the absolute most astute people on the football negotiation side. I'm shocked it came to this. I'm really shocked. I mean, for a quarterback of that magnitude to be a potential free agent is amazing.
Yeah, Bruce did your job.
I will tell you this, Greg, yeah, this will warm your... Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
No, I'm just going to say, obviously, Bruce did your job for years before Al hired him. He was a sports agent. What were you going to say? I'm sorry to cut you off.
I was thinking of you about a week ago, because we used to always talk about how one of the big events in the NFL was the Tuck rule, because that began the downfall for a period of time of the Raiders and the increase for the Patriots. I actually think the two most significant events in the NFL of the last 20 years is the Tuck, because of what it did with the Patriots on the upswing, and the trade of Garoppolo, because I think it's going to make the Niners one of the dominant teams in the NFL for the next decade.
Wow. You're going to put Garoppolo on the level of the Tuck rule, Bake?
I think I didn't say the level. I said addition. I'd say Tuck rule stands by itself. But you know, what I'm saying, though, is you think back to the Tuck. Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady when the Tuck rule happened.
I'm well aware.
And that began the dynasty. And I mean, I'm not saying the 49ers are going to be the Patriots, but I do believe that what the 49ers pulled off for Garoppolo is one of the most amazing deals I've ever seen. To have gotten a quarterback of that quality for a second-round draft choice from the smartest man in the room amazes me to this day.
And I was in a really good mood until Bake Bonte brought up the Tuck rule. Just got me going all over again.
Bake, you can come on the program anytime you want to.
It would
Baker.
Be sweet revenge to say Tuck you to Belichick and have Garoppolo go to the 49ers, Bake. So
hey,
I hear you.
Greg, I did say you're the closest into a GM on the radio.
It's the day after Valentine's Day. Greg's not feeling the love today.
Frankly, to use the trademark, add another octave top of voice, I would even say he's better than most GMs.
Wow. Bob Myers, he's listening out there. Save this for Myers when he comes in on Wednesday.
I mean that sincerely. I love your show.
He listens to the show all the time, Vontae.
I'm surprised you could take both of us, Baker. You're a good man in my book. Steve Baker, head of Baker Sports Management. We got to do this again when the next big contract gets signed out there. Thanks so much for the time, Baker.
Take care, Baker.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Baker, head of